Why did you want to become a stonemason in the first place?
It starts with my grandfather, like I'm sort of three generations. My grandfather came out in the late 1920s. He came out from Italy, did a month and a half journey on a boat to get here. We got to Melbourne and then came straight to Tasmania and worked in Tarralea. He was concreting in Tarazzo. And my father was involved in the business and they evolved into stonework from there. I remember vividly when I saw two stonemasons who were working for my father and they were producing these wonderful scrolls. And I just thought, I want to do that.
What's the thing that you've made that has that beauty that you still look at with pride?
I suppose there's lots of buildings. I think that's one of the great benefits of the trade is our stuff doesn't get covered up or the like. It's there to see for, you know, another 100 and so years. So, you know, from working on the GPO, Domain House, Treasury Building, I've done a lot of work on, you know, Franklin Square public buildings to the small churches here and there. The shield on the Treasury Building is probably the main one I'm fairly proud of, which I did many years ago.
How many different sorts of stone do you have in your own home?
I only have one, actually. Just have a bench top, which is it's just a weatherboard place. So I don't have any other stone in it. But maybe
you can't even glue stone onto a weatherboard place, can you?
Maybe one day I'll build one, but I think I'll look at it every day. It's hard to want to try and build the house myself, but it would be nice. So with the sandstone, it comes in from our two quarries currently that we're extracting blocks from. One is in Colebrook and another one is in New Norfolk.
What are you looking for in sandstone if you're going to extract it en masse like this?
It's got to have, you know, certain strengths, minimal porosity values. There's certain clays that are fairly common in Tasmanian sandstone. There only seem to be in Tasmanian sandstone. They're a swelling clay called smectite. They've got to have minimal amounts of that. This is half the reason why a lot of the buildings in Tasmania are the overhangs, the cornices and the like, why they're deteriorated. It's because they had high smectite contents. And then you've got colour. And then the sandstone's got to be producing decent-sized blocks that it's not full of cracks and things where you're limited to block size. We have a standard sort of dimension that you try to get. But then Mother Nature will tell you otherwise if there's a crack or something.
How do you cut sandstone out of the ground?
In the old days, it used to be a lot of hard work. Picks and stuff, they'd form little channels, break them out like that. And then it was a lot of drilling and explosives, like Cortex cord. But now that's pretty much frowned upon now. They say it's giving shock into the stone, so it causes issues. So a lot of the time now, it's all big excavators with big wheels with tungsten teeth on them. And they do have diamond ones now as well, so big 3-metre diameter blades. And they just cut channels into the stone and then either drilling underneath or a rock breaker just to tap them free of their bed.
Give me a ballpark figure. How much is the sort of big saw blade that fits on the end of an excavator to cut sandstone out of the ground?
About $5,000. That's the diamond one. The tungsten ones are a bit dearer. They're a thicker blade, more hard-wearing.
So how do you turn this block into the beautiful bricks and pavers and all these other shapes? Yep. I can see here.
We'll walk down to the end of the factory to the first stage. Yep. So this saw here, you're looking at here, is a diamond wire saw. So this machine will create slabs at the desired thickness, what we need. So each cut takes us about half an hour to 40 minutes, also depending on hardness of the stone.
So it's actually being cut with a piece of wire that's running between the two wheels.
It's what it is. It's got a braided wire core and then it's got diamond beads that are spaced every 30, 40 mil. And then obviously water there for cooling and dust prevention.
So that cuts the giant boulders into nice clean slabs and then another saw.
Yeah, and then from there, the larger ones will come to this saw, which has got a 1.8 metre blade.
And again, I can see why you recycle your water. You're using a lot of it.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we do go through a lot. Yep. We can come inside the factory now. Here we have we'll call a bridge saw. It's got a 1 metre blade, fully automatic, so it can be set to process unattended. It also has a computer in there, so it can do shaping, profiling. So when you look at buildings, the cornice mould up on the top of the building, this machine can produce that, can make the shapes.
So do any cutting by hand?
Yeah, there's still a lot that needs to be done by hand, yeah.
Is it all still electric tools, or is there ever a point where you have a hammer and a chisel?
No, still hammer and chisels are used. This area here is where the stonemasons will work. So we've basically got holding a mallet and a chisel, a drafting chisel. So I'm just going to show you the process and the sound that you, which is quite a nice sound when you're working stone. It's a lovely sort of, you get that sort of that rhythm going as you're working. We also have here is what we call a pneumatic hammer. And this is used a lot as well now. Saves a bit on the elbow and the shoulders.
Like a little hand-sized jackhammer.
Yeah.
Gee, that is smooth compared to the hand beating, isn't it?
Yeah, very quick stroke, so it produces a very fine sort of finish. Where with my arm, I can't swing that quick. Certain things we would do by hand, like these stones here we're looking at. It's got a pick face with a margin, a tooled margin, we call it. So it's quite common on a lot of the heritage buildings in Tasmania.
It's almost like a picture. It's like with a frame around the outside and a pattern put in the middle.
Exactly, yes, yeah.
How long would it take to produce that piece, which is maybe 50 by 50 by 30 centimetres?
Take about an hour and a half, maybe.
This is sandstone, which we kind of all know as being a softer stone. What's it like working with granite or marble?
Granite and marble is a different beast, I suppose, in the way it's used in buildings and the like. Obviously, benchtops now is the main use, I suppose, of granite. Also, like cladding for buildings, flooring. So it's a totally different process. So the saws we're looking at are, you know, just a slightly smaller version, which cuts the slabs into the desired size, and then it gets polished by hand or by machine.
If you're doing a bench top, there'll be a big rectangle cut out of the middle of it for the sink to go into. How do you cut that middle bit out?
The water jet now. We have a water jet that cuts that out. You know, years ago, it'd be cut by hand, but now also due to the silicosis, I mean, we bought the water jet near 4 years ago now, and that was the basis to try and reduce the dust part of the industry.
Yeah. How long have you been doing this?
I have been a stonemason for about 37 years.
Are you worried about the exposure you've had over 37 years of experience with stone and stone dust?
I mean, I've been pretty conscious of it right from the start, and we've always worn masks. In the early days, the masks were just a paper mask, I suppose, but yeah, I was always pretty conscious of wearing it. The main issue, I suppose, now is the fake stone, like the engineered stone, which is 95% quartz. So that's a lot of silicosis in a stone, so the dust is a lot more dangerous. But now it's, we're trying to reduce that exposure.
I can only imagine, because it's COVID-19 times and we can't shake hands anymore, stonemasons must have the strongest handshake in the world.
Yes, quite possibly. Strong backs and strong legs and one strong arm for swinging the hammer.